The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, February 19th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we do some type of entertainment. The news is entertaining today. And I said, hey, allow me to share that entertainment. Allow me to be a good steward and say, hey, perhaps you didn't hear, but yes, you can hear today. You can hear today why everybody is up in arms. WhatsApp is hot. I'm not sure if you are a social media person, but if you are a social media person and live on WhatsApp, like how I live on WhatsApp and get up, you would appreciate what I plan to play today because you might have missed it, because you might be just those persons who listen to the radio and don't know what exactly is happening behind what is happening. Today, I have two voice notes and a letter, a voice note letter type thing. And I want to play that. I'm not going to play this in entirety, right? I'm going to play pieces of it so you can understand why the conversation in Aaron Green's show was so hot. Yeah, it's hot. And I say, I got to play this and play the response and maybe do some introspection on it. And of course, I have some things lying for Aaron to read, and I want to talk about one or two more issues, but I want the discerning public, those Bahamians who sit and wonder what is happening in our country, those well-meaning Bahamians who say, man, I am Bahamian first, and I want good for this nation. Therefore, when one is doing wrong, you say, no, that's not good. And when one is doing right, you herald it and say, man, that is awesome and spectacular. So, producer, I want you to cue up my first voice note. It's about 2 minutes long. These are not really long, you know. You just listen intently, and then you can always call back and say if it's bad or good, right? But, producer, when you have chance, play that first voice note, please. Thank you.
So, Dr. Dwayne Sands, the chairman of the FNM, has decided to try and get nastier than me with yet another nasty note and set a foolish set of statements aimed at me personally. I'm asking all of his PLP patients and those of goodwill how a doctor who has such hatred for the PLP can really take care of PLP patients. Seems to me that we ought to start boycotting his practice. I dismiss all that he says as laughingly stupid. There's a rowdy fellow on WhatsApp who has an expression which I think may sum it all up. Dr. Sands, CYC, enough said. If you don't know what that means, then give me a call. I'll tell you to your face. The FNM should really put you aside privately. The press called me on Wednesday to ask another thing, what I thought by the former Speaker House of Moultrie to strike down the Bahamas Nationality Act in its entirety, and if it is successful, this would disqualify everyone who got citizenship by that law since 1974. My response is some people are too smart for their own good. First of all, he's wrong in law, but even if he's right, what purpose would it serve beside mischief to disqualify thousands of Bahamians and strip them of their citizenship? This man Moultrie is another one the FNM should put away privately. I heard Dwight Strawn, the radio chat show host, attack the Prime Minister, and while he said the Prime Minister's remarks about the press and murder were the dumbest and stupidest thing he'd heard, what he really wanted to say was to call the Prime Minister dumb and stupid. Well, Dwight Strawn, stupid is as stupid does. And when you look in the mirror, think twice before you say unkind things which are untrue. The local press is all out of joint because the Prime Minister called them out on their alarmist headlines. They think they're immune to public criticism, and they're not. What the Prime Minister said is a legitimate criticism because the press editors make choices every day and then make the front page. They make alarmist headlines every day. Some of them don't even reflect within their own stories. So don't come with this sanctimonious nonsense about the Prime Minister attacking freedom of the press when you know that. I don't understand this personal animus. And aren't you really proving the Prime Minister's point by spreading false news about the threat to freedom of the press in the Bahamas, which you know is false? Jeez. Once again, now I'm calling on the central bank to cease and desist this fool's errand of abolishing checks.
Okay, and that's that first one. I'm now moving to the response. No, no, I see you eager, Aaron. Hold it. You can write notes if you want. I want you to hold it because I have the response. There was a response by the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, to that, right? And I want to play a piece of that because I want the Bahamian listening audience to understand what is exactly happening. And then you can make a decision on where you think it's appropriate or not. But if you don't know, you just don't know. So play that second voice note, please.
In Parliament, I once before cautioned the chairman of the PLP on the violent and venomous language he sometimes uses when engaged in a conflict with persons who strongly disagree with his position or the position of his party. My advice has fallen on deaf ears as he continues to attack others and have now descended into encouraging vindictive actions against Dr. Dwayne Sands. This is as far as to encourage their supporters not to support Dr. Sands' business. This is horrible and should be condemned on so many levels. He knows that Sands does not make sweeping generalizations about all PLPs. Sands' recent comments were leveled at Mitchell and his brand of PLPism. Does Mitchell understand or even care that some PLPs are interested in preserving their health and life, and many believe that Dr. Sands and his partners can help? Shameful advice to boycott Dr. Sands is because he is holding the PLP accountable. Mitchell is revealing to the public how this PLP role. He is showing us that this is how they govern. Disagree with us or criticize us, you get no contract, even if you win the bid, according to the PLP. Or you can't get hired for a job you are qualified for or promotion you deserve. Or you will be put on administrative leave, or they'll transfer you. Or you are forced or frustrated to retire. If they even hear you disagree with or criticize, you may be subject to Inland Revenue digging up in your books. You are even related to critics of this government, it appears, that dog eats your lunch. Say what you like about Fred Mitchell. He, in his senior years, is telling the public how the PLP is thinking about civil servants, business persons, pastors, FNMs, and others. If you dare speak up, stand up against anything the PLP puts forth, there is a price to pay. You may even be boycotted. Prime Minister Davis, all-out support of Chairman Mitchell has made Mitchell even more dangerous. The Prime Minister's failure to reprimand him is an endorsement of his ongoing bad behavior. In any event, these venomous, violent, and vindictive attacks ain't good for the country.
And of course, there was a response. Few people know that all these things is going on WhatsApp. You know, we have mainstream media, and then there is a underbelly media between politicians. This is what goes on all the time. And I say, hey, I'm going to allow the listening audience to get privy to these things. But there was a response, and I want Aaron Green to read. And this is a note. I would say it's not a voice note, but it's a note via WhatsApp by the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. I want to put that in the record because this is the direct response to Mr. Pintard. Go ahead, Aaron.
Statement from Fred Mitchell, chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, and in parentheses, a personal statement. Again, a personal statement from Mr. Fred Mitchell, chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, on the leader of the opposition's attack on me. That's from Mr. Fred Mitchell, dated the 18th of February, 2024. It has been pointed out to me that the leader of the opposition tonight has released a foolish, inaccurate, and defamatory voice note about my political actions. The statements made by the leader were not only laughable but disrespectful. Any actions on my part were in response to unprovoked and nasty innuendos launched at me by his inept and silly chairman, the man who was judicially condemned for interfering in a case. He was fired for breaking the COVID rules. The problem with the chairman, who the opposition leader now seeks to defend, is that Dr. Duane Sands did not realize that this is big people's business. He thought he could throw a rock and run away, but now when he gets porked with the ball in the playground, Dr. Sands wants to run like a little child crying to die. That way, I have said in my public life that I do not need the permission or advice of anyone to defend myself. If you attack me, my party, or my leader or members, you better not miss. Mine is the Colin Powell doctrine. In politics, as in war, respond with overwhelming force. Mr. Pintard should put that in his pipe and smoke it. Boycotts are a legitimate tool of nonviolence. If Dr. Sands hates PLPs, I merely ask the question, why should they support his business? Instead of fooling with me, Mr. Pintard should look to his left and his right at Dr. Hubert Minnis and Dr. Duane Sands, who are after his job, and the three of them are only seeking to make me the issue to save your political skins. I feel sorry for all of you. And that, again, was a personal statement from Fred Mitchell, chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party.
Now you can interrogate. I see you as passionate before and eager to respond. Let me say this on the record. I have no problem with the chairman of the PLP's response and his antics.
The response and his voice note. What you
antics.
Heard in the voice note? You don't have a problem with that?
That's politics.
No, it's not politics.
That's not politics?
No, no, no. There was a phrase that was used in his initial...
A vernacular phrase. A bohemian phrase.
An acronym. None of us should be using it.
No.
No child, no adult should be using it. Politicians should use it. No member of government should use it.
Pastors use it all the time.
No minister of foreign affairs should use it.
You anti-culture.
No, I am not anti-culture. I'm anti-violence. I'm anti...
That's how we talk.
Heinous, violent, political rhetoric. I am anti that. I am all for shifting the political culture to model the behavior that we seek from our citizens.
I think you're taking it too seriously.
No,
sir. You don't like Bahamian
as
politics.
As a victim of violence, as a victim of gendered violence, as a victim of stalking, as a victim who the police told they're not interested in investigating it, my focus is on eradicating violence.
These are political antics.
Violence.
This is what we do.
They're childish and unbecoming and intolerable from those who seek to run our country.
And I say again, man, you get put in a voice note. Stop it. You just go too far. You just go too far, Ms. Green.
If anybody has gone too far, it is members of the political class who refuse to moderate their own behavior, who refuse to moderate the behavior of this violent rhetoric to promulgate, to spread, right? Because they're far more concerned on their own personal bottom line than they are the health and wealth of the country as a whole.
The phone lines are lit up, Aaron.
That phrase should never be used. Mr. Mitchell should resign.
That was a liar. She's gone too far.
As chairman of the party and as Minister of Foreign Affairs.
I can set a voice note on you right now, Aaron. I can start the voice note myself.
Would you do record what I just said and send that voice note out, sir?
Yes. Let's go to the first caller there, producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah. No, seriously, though, I am inclined to follow the way Aaron is thinking. As a result to, you know, what you say, how it just reflects on the mind of some of the impressionable ones around us. And he seems to like to use the word nasty. I don't know why. But, you know, deep down inside, he's angry at himself, because I haven't been following him for quite some time, even when he was burning, you know, little guy foxes. He'd feel as though he's running out of time for becoming a traveling prime minister.
What?
And that is weighing heavily on him.
Oh,
so don't be surprised as he mushrooms into this oblivion and negativism and all this deep, dark secrets coming out of him now. You're going to see why it's so important that at least be married to a good woman.
No, man.
We're not going to follow.
Yeah. We're not going to follow his unnecessary commentary with more. Right, and the whole point is to set a different model, is to not respond in
that
kind.
That was violence just now,
right.
Aaron.
And see, and this is the problem. The problem is Mr. Mitchell's statements. If I heard and read correctly, his statements suggest to me that he thinks that's fine.
I think it's fine.
To fight fire with fire. If somebody's nasty with you, you go even nastier to prove a point.
That's politics.
That's gang culture.
What?
That's gang culture, sir. That's gangsterism culture. And we cannot tolerate that culture in our political space, and we certainly can't tolerate it in the space of governance.
You mentioned gang culture. I have another article I want you to read. Mm-hmm. Recently, over the weekend, there were a group of teenagers. I count a total of about six. It could be up to nine age boys, right? Nine teenage boys who were happened to be walking over the hill. Mm-hmm. And they came across a homeless man. Mm-hmm. A homeless man who was sitting down, either apparently sleeping or relaxing. He was by himself. He's chilling. And the first teenage boy, could be no more than 16 years old, accosted him and strike him. The second teenage boy accosted him and drop kick him. Then there was a third. Then there was a fourth. Then there was a fifth. And then there was the person who was recording all of this, laughing. This is something fun. This is something to record. This is something to send out. This is something I want the world to know that we did this. We did this to show you that this boy, this man has no value. Therefore, it is free reign for us to take advantage of him. Since then, the police has issued a statement. Since then, the police has arrested two young boys so far. I'm not sure if they got the total of six or the seven, particularly the cameraman. I want the cameraman get locked up, right? I'm not sure what kind of charge, if there's a charge. But this violent act, right, has become, to me, cultural. You talk about gang violence and this theme and culture of it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our children are watching us, and this is the outplay of it. But I have an article there. I want you to read that
all
for
right.
me.
So two articles, one in today's Tribune and one in Saturday's online Tribune Media. Police seeking family of homeless man who was assaulted by teenagers. Police are requesting public assistance in locating family members of a homeless man who was observed being assaulted by a group of teenagers on social media. Two juvenile males are in custody, and police are aggressively in search of the remaining teens, along with their parents and or guardians. Additionally, the Criminal Investigations Department is actively investigating the matter in collaboration with the Department of Social Services. Police wish to remind parents, guardians, that they are responsible for the actions of their children, and when they breach the law, parents will be held accountable, as well as their children. Investigations into this matter are ongoing. An earlier report, like you said, indicated that two young men had already been detained. You want to go to the phone line quickly and then to the second article?
I would, yes, let's do that. But let me ask you this. If my child out there doing foolishness, they can lock me up, they do gang stupidness, or inside a car, and they can lock me up?
Your charge, like, may be lesser, right?
Well, what did he do?
His charge. What is the question of what didn't you do?
What did the police didn't do? They need to charge the police, eh? They can't be locking me up. I didn't tell them to go out there. And hit, let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and of course, Aaron Green is with me.
Hey, I'm Aaron and Nuri, back with you all on your show. As it relates to the articles that, or the article that Aaron read, and the two voice notes that you played, Cecil, I believe if I could make the suggestion, you would give us the full context of the information, if you started with the article or the voice note that prompted the response from National Chair.
Anton, I appreciate what you're saying, right? I even said, well, maybe we should have read Mr. Sands' initial statement that prompted Mr. Mitchell's response.
Yes.
Did you hear what Mr. Mitchell said in the voice note?
Yes, I did.
There's nothing that warrants that response, Anton. Nothing
and,
at all.
BC,
there's nothing that Mr. Aaron. Sands said that warrants the use of that phrase in a public communication from a man that holds the position of chairman of the PLP party, right, of Fox Hill, and Minister of Foreign Affairs. It is just
not,
totally and absolutely unacceptable. There's nothing could say that warrants that type of language. Now, if Mr. Sands said something that was truly troubling, that was truly violent, if it was libelous, slanderous, or defamatory, there are mechanisms in law that Mr. Mitchell could use to seek redress or to deal with the situation. But promulgating language like that is absolutely and totally the language. See, here's what the problem is. That phrase is rooted in rape culture and an extreme disregard for the value of women's bodies and their function on the planet. It is the nastiest thing that you could say. And the reason why I'm this fired up is because we have not approached the use of that phrase generally or in politics appropriately, which led somebody who's a part of the PLP camp to think that it's appropriate to release a video in support of Mr. Fred Mitchell attacking Shane Gibson and Robin Lines. And the first five or six words in the video was Shane and Robin pulling train on the PLP. There is nothing that warrants the use of that language from those.
Right. No, but Aaron, I wasn't calling to speak on that particular.
But what you what you're saying is that we need Dwayne Sands' comments to weigh Mr. Mitchell's speech and his responses appropriately, so that we could understand the full context of the conversation.
None of it
is warranted. We're not endorsing any of it.
Right.
We're shutting it down.
Right. Now, Aaron, if you remember, we just discussed on your show what my perspective is on Minister Mitchell's comments, right?
Yes.
And that hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all.
Okay.
I don't find it acceptable either, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, all I'm asking of both yourself and Cecil is for fuller context, for us to appreciate also what National Chairman for the FNM had to say, so that the same disdain one may find in the comments for National Chair for the PLP, if we're being fair, we can also have the opportunity to find for or against using that same kind of language if it was coming out of the camp of the FNM. That's
all
it.
sides.
On the last comment regarding, I didn't catch it because your online thing cut out. I don't know if it's back in as yet, so I missed maybe a couple minutes of your conversation. But you all were talking about parents being held responsible
For the actions of their kids
for the actions of their children.
Certain
and
circumstances,
Aaron,
yes.
Cecil, I've been promoting that for the last 20, 25 years in this country. Look, we cannot expect for parents to receive the benefits if they're in a single womb situation where one parent is permitted to take the other parent to court and the court gets to rule over what is to be done, what is to be paid, what responsibilities ought to be taken, what responsibilities ought to be shared. And at the same token, Aaron and Cecil, when those same children are committing acts, those minor children, I might add, not adult children, minor children who you still have responsibility for or committing acts against the society, you take no level of responsibility for it. You have to take some level of responsibility. And if the government fails in ensuring that level of consideration is brought to bear in the comprehensive and holistic approach to resolving, continue to see where that slippage reaps problems for our country by way of crime increase and by way of perhaps even murders and other serious crimes on our books. And so it is absolutely imperative if we're going to use all that we can in our fight against crime that we primarily hold those responsible for the children as they are minors responsible in assisting government and the police force with maintaining overall good safety and order in our country. Thank you all for the opportunity. God bless.
No problem there.
Thank you, Antoine.
But I see, Aaron, you're still passionate, but I wanted to interrogate what would cause teenagers to be that violent.
Yeah, beyond that subject.
Go ahead.
What would cause them to be that violent? Raised in violent circumstances. I mean, they are overwhelmed with violence rhetoric. And more importantly is this, right? Malcolm Martin Luther King Jr. said, peace is not the absence of violence, it's the presence of justice, right? And so it's not just that, you know, they're exposed to violent or dysfunctional social dynamics. It's that there's no moderation of said violence. There's no moderation or proper enforcement of social rules, right? And when you say mores, right? The norms, the social contracts. And so it's not just that young people are living in dysfunctional environments, right? Or They're living in problematic and violent family situations or community situations. It's that nobody is stepping up when something happens and say, hey, that ain't supposed to happen. Nobody's moderating their behavior. Nobody is saying, listen, stop doing that. That's violent. That's unacceptable.
So if it was one of the children were one of your children, your nephew, your niece, whatever it is,
yeah,
right? And you see the video. Mm-hmm. You know that the police is looking for these young boys. Does a parent have a duty of care to say, that one is my son?
Yeah.
And turn their son in?
Yeah.
So right now, there's only two persons who have been arrested so far. We have no clue who the rest is, even though we have them on camera or video. But you can make out who it is. You can hear the voice, who it is. You know what friendship.
Well, that's if you've seen the video, right? Like, so the presumption is that you are aware of the video or that you've seen the video, right? But say you didn't see, so know that that's your child, but you're aware that there is a video. You say to your son and say, look here, boy, that you ain't had nothing to do with that. Hey, let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. Did you have anything to do with this? Did any of your peers have anything to do with this? Were you with these? Do you hang out with these guys? Right? You have an obligation to ask as a parent. Hey, you have anything to do with this?
I see police is asking for the relatives of the homeless man. One would assume if the man homeless and his relative are not supporting him, the relatives don't necessarily care.
Perhaps they don't. I mean, remember now, we're still in the immediate aftermath of Dorian and the pandemic.
Yeah.
We still are dealing with people who've been displaced, internally displaced, right? They could no longer stay in Abaco. They may be in New Providence without the support system they may have had in Abaco. The entire support system may have been lost to the storm. And then there's the pandemic, right? Where citizens have been displaced. People had to move from Family Island to New Providence in search of state support, right? Social services can't provide for you on the island. Maybe you can, if you don't have some place to live, even if your family doesn't have a way to accommodate you. So there are many reasons why someone could be in the state and even have family, right? The person could have a medical condition, a psychological condition, right, where they don't want to take the meds make them feel worse, make them feel worse than they feel off the meds, they don't take them. There are all kinds of reasons this person could be in that state, but it doesn't mean that nobody cares about them.
We have a caller here, producer, patch that caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning, CA, good morning, Aaron, I hope you're doing well.
Morning, yes, sir.
You know, I hope that those individuals who perpetrated that heinous act against that homeless man, that whenever they are caught, that first of all, they get some counseling. I didn't see the video because I'm one of them places and I don't be on social media like that. I don't have that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
My time is too valuable for those kinds of things.
You're missing all kinds of good stuff, though.
No, but I mean, it's, you know, if it's not helpful, it's hurtful. I don't have that kind of time to waste on these young men that they would get some counseling. And I hope that if it's a court matter, that the court would send them to a community service to that homeless man. They have to bathe him, and they have to feed him, and they have to hear his story so that they could know that there is this man was somebody's child, that he just didn't drop out of the sky like them. He was created by God and whatever it is, so that they can appreciate the value of another human being. So I just hope that from this lesson that I want that cameraman, the guy who was filming this, I want the police or whoever it is, I want the people to see them showing kindness to this homeless man, to see them, you know, that's what I'd like to see, so some justice would be served. And hopefully others would look at this and would treat everyone as a human being. Now, on the matter of Mr. Mitchell, listen, I don't know if he's suffering from, you know, I don't know, like somebody said, maybe he's getting old.
He's not old. He's younger than our prime minister. Our prime minister would.
Yeah, but both of them. Like, you know, like JJ say, until this Moses could die out, ain't nothing gonna change. We need some Joshuas now to come into the promised land and to possess this land.
You know what the problem is, though? The 60-year-olds think they're the Joshuas.
Mm. Well, I mean...
And even the 47-year-olds like me, they think they're the Joshuas. We don't know that we are also a part of the Moses generation.
The best news by day
Joshua,
one.
Joshua and you know, I just want to say this. You know, when Mr. Bradley Roberts was chairman of the PLP, there were never no personal attacks on another chairman.
You never saw what he did to the Speaker of the House? Oh, he's the mash up to Speaker of the House.
Yeah, but I never heard him, like getting this personal thing and using these acronyms and things like that. But like Aaron said, this
you're just forgetful.
You know, the government has to set the, when you see our leaders not acting properly, then people in the society will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Some people don't go to church for the same reason, or the pastors, them, they doing this. You know, some people don't obey the law because they know, or some people because they are high up there and they have certain connections, they could get away with anything, and they see this happening in our society, and they try to do the same thing. So we have to be the example. We have to be the change that we want to see. Mr. Mitchell and all the prime minister and everybody else, we have to be the change that we want to see in this country. If not, CA, we're fighting a losing battle, man. Mm-hmm. Have a good day, man.
Thank you very much. I have a text here that says, how did the kids get like that? Because everyone around them, including the politicians, are bitter and angry and commit acts of violence and speak violence against each other every day, including the same politicians y'all were talking about earlier in the show. It's another texter who believed that our politicians are violent.
Listen, the political culture has allowed too much violent rhetoric and entrench itself, right? I think in politicians and actors who are not savvy, right, who are not smart, who are not quick on their feet, they resort to the most base language in a pinch, right? And it's up to us to say to them, it's just intolerable. You're modeling behavior that's unacceptable. This type of engagement is dangerous, and we are producing young people who do not know where the boundaries are, let alone how to hold the boundaries. I see you got a caller coming in, Mr. Neary.
Yes, producer, go through that call and pass it through. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, that's me. But I'm on this radio.
Good morning,
sir. You're live. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. My bad. So, y'all really given these young people a little bit too much credit. Like, they just watch the news, listen to what's going on in the country as far as politicians are concerned. They get the violence or tendency to violence from the streets, that kind of stuff. That's all.
Okay, thank you very much, Carla. I appreciate that.
See, when he say the streets, I agree with him, because I think that if you are an adult and you running red lights and stop signs and ignoring basic traffic controls with your children in the car, you are modeling behavior that does not teach empathy. In fact, it creates a lack of empathy within young people.
I have a texter here who said that the juveniles need a good royal cut behind. And I had this debate with some school friends earlier saying that clearly these children are broken because normal people don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. They come from a violent environment and they're displaying violence. I remember when I was younger, when they had the police doing the House of Pain raid and they used to lock up young teenagers and abuse them inside this bus.
Mm-hmm. So those young teenagers would be the parents of these young men now, wouldn't they?
Violence breed violence. And the caller before mentioned that there needs to be justice. And part of that justice is learning to take care of such vulnerable people that we're able to spread love. And you mentioned a quote from
Martin Luther King,
who said justice...
Peace is not the absence.
And there needs to be justice, not no revenge. Right. And I see a lot of people, violent people, people who are also broken, are now preaching that violence needs to be ushered out.
Repeat the phrase that the texter used.
Okay. Those juveniles deserve a royal cut behind.
Okay, so watch this. They need an experience that takes everything out of them and forces them to be people that they never imagined that they could be, or they did imagine but could never figure out how to get there. On Friday, we talked about Gavin McKinney, who's a 70-year-old Bahamian noted sailor who is embarking on a fundraiser. He's going to sail from Exuma to Nassau in an attempt to raise $70,000 for the National Bahamas Sailing School. Those young men need to be put on an island. They need to be given some basic rudimentary tools. And they need to figure out how they're going to, not the TV show Naked and Afraid, but you need to put them on an island with basic tools, some basic food resources, and show them y'all need to figure out how you're going to eat and you need to build a boat. Because when y'all finish building that boat, we're going to sail with you from this island back to the capital.
We can take a quick break here and come back to another story. However, Texas says more likely the family of the homeless man don't care. They drive past him and everything. But now we have politicians dropping off food to him. And I want to know if that's enough.
Of course it's not enough. Remember earlier we talked about charity versus structural reform? Family members need systems to be able to plug in so that they can support their families.
But can't the politicians now able to take pictures that they're helping the homeless man?
Hope that camera break.
Oh, anyway. Skyline Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Greer's with me. When we come back, I have another story I want to dial in to get your opinion on. We'll be right back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the village. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time. Fish Fry Friday is back at Margaritaville downtown Nassau at 12-volt bar, featuring the big band Visage with the latest soca music. Admission is $25, one complimentary drink included. Experience the Fish Fry Buffet at Vacation Cafe for only $55, party included. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Punch break. Fish Fry Friday is back. So come party with the big band Visage and your number one DJ March 1st at 12-volt bar Margaritaville downtown Nassau. Tell your crew to meet you at Fish Fry Friday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And we'll go directly to the phone lines and just speed up the show a little bit. Go ahead, caller. Call Grant once. Call Grant twice. Nope. Okay. I want you to read this article, Aaron, because And look, let's read the article one time. Go ahead.
All right. This article is in today's paper. It's another very serious topic and incident that we are... Police warning after video circulated of naked woman. After video circulated of a naked woman behaving lewdly outside a home last week, police warned yesterday that exploiting those exhibiting such unstable behavior could result in prosecution. The incident involving a 46-year-old woman happened shortly after 8 p.m. on Saturday outside a residence in Garden Hills. Residents of the home who recorded the video said they did not know the woman, who acted erratically by touching herself and at one point spitting on their house's window. We go to page 2. In the video, one resident screamed, "What is wrong with her?" Another resident said the woman's behavior was that of a demon. A second video showed the woman naked on top of a car, spreading her legs. "There is a naked lady that's bamming on our windows, and now she's on top of our car," as someone in the video said. Police said they are aware of the video circulation and reminded the public that mental illnesses exist. Police said when people exhibit unstable behavior involving exposing private body parts, it should not be exploited. Police said the woman is known to have a mental disorder and that she was taken to the hospital by emergency medical personnel accompanied by...
And mental illness is real.
Yes.
We know we've had a series of shows. The Bahamas in general is taking mental illness, I wouldn't say seriously, because we could do more. But at least we are addressing the topic of mental illness.
Doctors, counselors, practitioners in the field are constantly encouraging us to take it more seriously. And I think in March and May, there'll be various mental health awareness months and programming going on. But that doesn't mean we have to wait until that time to focus on those. At this point, that we are having, we have had an issue. One thing I know is that we have not produced sufficient resources and mechanisms for people who are dealing with ordinary, regular day-to-day stress, but in particular for those people who have been displaced by or tremendously or traumatically affected by either Dorian, prior hurricanes, and the pandemic.
I want to mention that we, as Bahamians, are a superstitious grouping. One of the concerns that the video recorders had is this woman possessed? We believe in possessions, right? Put mental illness aside, we believe that demons come in people and make them, not mental health. Spirits does that. I say that because the police in this article did not cite the law that people will be breaking for recording people who are demon-possessed, right? Yeah. I don't know if it's safe for Bahamians to determine if someone has mental illness or if that's a medical thing that has to be done by medical practitioners. But as a Christian, as a spiritual person, I can deem a person demon-possessed. And surely I can record a demon-possessed person in my church and forward it. And I want to know how come the police didn't cite what the law is that Bahamians who are forwarding these things would break. So we would understand it and decipher the law itself. They did us a injustice by not explaining exactly what law has been broken. What law has been broken? Do you know? Because I say, not me, and I'm being flippant, and forgive me, I'm trying to make a social point. If I say the lady is demon-possessed, does that go against her having, not this woman in general, let's just change it, move it away from her. If I say a person is demon-possessed, does that go against someone having mental health? What trumps what? Does my Bible trump your medical degree?
Mr. Nuri, you have the right to believe what you want to believe. You believe in demons. Nobody could stop you.
You don't believe in demons, Aaron?
Believing in that. Let me finish talking about
what
we're talking about.
I wouldn't believe in demons. That's why I wouldn't know if you believe in demons.
That's not what we're talking about.
You don't believe in demons, Aaron?
Mr. Nuri, there is no law that addresses outside of you can't practice obeah. There's no law. There's no law that addresses what it is you're talking about. Listen.
I would know if I record a demon can they lock me up? That's what I want to know. Because they didn't cite the law, Aaron. I want you to tell me.
This incident has nothing to do with demons. The laws they cited had nothing to do with demons.
You didn't hear the woman saying she looks like she have a demon?
You cannot. You should not record people when they're nude. You should not publish, disseminate images or videos of people when they're nude, with or without their permission. Don't. Especially if somebody appears to be troubled, unstable.
But who determines trouble is stable? Like I said, they've been irrational.
Irrational, troubled,
I know
unstable.
A lot of political people who are irrational. We've been talking about irrational people too. Just for the whole show, we've been talking about irrational politicians. See, your verbiage is
cheap. If you observe someone that you feel is behaving in a manner that is unstable, irrational, that they may be a danger to themselves and other people, you contact the authorities. You call 911. You say, there's a person, I know them or I don't know them, they are behaving irrationally and they appear to be a danger to themselves or to other people. The authorities will then send police and emergency medical technicians, emergency medical personnel, to come out to the scene or the site and make a professional assessment.
And question. Someone recorded this. We already know who recorded it because we had like 3-4 different recordings from different vantage points inside a house. They recorded this and sent the video out and the video became...
Okay, stop.
You don't know who recorded it?
Stop. If you watch the video,
yes, from inside,
it becomes obvious that the occupants of the home.
That's
cool
what I
with
said.
That part.
Yes.
Be cool with that part.
Yes.
It's the other part of what you said.
Who sent the video out?
We don't know.
You're trying to say that it just happened to conspiracy. That's why I said demons.
The police and the telecommunications services can determine the source of the video.
The initial source of the video.
And they can track and determine, they could trace back from the source that they have.
So by trace back to people who receive it, then to trace back to the original person who sent it.
What
you can't be saying people breaking the law.
No.
And then we watching the people who recording it, and you will lock them up.
I don't think this article, the statements by the police, reference the people who initially took the video.
I agree. That's why it concerned.
It references the people who are sharing the video.
I talk about the person who recorded the video.
We don't know
who recorded it.
We don't know
who recorded it.
No, we've determined we know who recorded it.
Yeah, lock them up. Lock them up.
No, Mr. Newman.
See, that's the law is on.
No, pause.
I know who started it. Lock the person who started it.
Mr. Newman, pause.
You want
the people in the home took the video for the purpose
of
documenting what it was that they were observing.
Now it's viral.
Stop. We don't know how it went viral. By someone forwarding it.
Who recorded it?
No.
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 Miraculous.
Stop.
I can't stop.
You have to stop.
Someone got to get locked up.
Somebody recorded it.
Yes.
Somebody disseminated it into the public domain.
Not the persons inside the house.
I imagine that the people inside the house documented what they observed for the purpose of sharing it with the authorities.
And the authorities sent it out? That's what you're trying to say?
That's not what I said.
You're confusing me.
I said the police, with the assistance of the telecommunication services, can determine the timeline of it being disseminated.
Can they determine who initially recorded it? So you go back to that. See where you're going, right? Right back to the initial. The person who recorded it and sent it out started all of this.
Mr. Newry, this is actually a fascinating discussion, right? If we segue for a moment to the attack on the homeless man, right? We have callers have said, listen, I also think that the person who filmed the incident should be called to account, right? And I say, if they didn't record it, we wouldn't have seen it. Bang. In the absence of CCTV, right? We wouldn't have seen it. That they recorded it is not necessarily the problem. If you read the article in today's Tribune, the Rhoda attack on homeless man disturbing, the article reads, as the homeless man tried to run away, the group of teenagers punched him, hit him, and stomped his face to the ground. Someone recording the incident, which reportedly happened on Friday, laughed in the background. right? It's the laughing part. It's the laughing part in the background that's most problematic, that you were recording it not for the sake of documenting it to turn it over to the police, mm-hmm. but you're recording it for the sake of making it entertainment.
The other day, there was a video, sad video, of the lady who committed suicide, jumped over the bridge.
Yes.
It was a recording by her loved one of her irregular activities, saying something peculiar about her, right? Now, I'm not sure if the police are saying that just recording of the person naked is the crime, or recording of those people who are being irregular. And now, because of the recording being the...
The police warned yesterday that exploiting those exhibiting such unstable behavior could result in prosecution.
So that's all, the exploitation of them.
So listen, taking the video could have been done for the purpose of documenting what was being observed
mm-hmm.
for the police and a subsequent investigation.
Like what the loved one of the lady who committed suicide did.
Right. It's how the video is used after that.
That he sent it out.
Pause.
Not that he sent it out. Then caused it to turn viral. No one, they're not to blame. It's us who get it now. We send it out to blame.
The individual, I have not seen this matter being prosecuted before the courts.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you whether it's subjective or objective.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is that the actual recording of the video isn't in and of itself nefarious.
Mm-hmm.
It may be for the purpose of documenting what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's done with the video after the incident has been documented that can lead to exploitation of those who are being recorded, whose behavior is being recorded.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just believe that the police should have put more detail in the article.
I think so as well.
To explain exactly what's happening so we can be a learning exercise for the Bahamian public.
If you've given me a legal warning, then you should also include the laws, the relevant laws that you're referencing.
Yeah. I just want to conclude with that. Let us pray for our Bahamian citizens.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through a lot of stress. It's a stressful time nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
A number of persons are falling victim of that, and we must be conscious of that. That people
right.
need help and support. And stop filming these things, especially filming we helping people in need. I see a number of politicians are doing that now. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio on the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.